humanity. Mind controls. A notice was just released yesterday that the U.S. administration has agreed to provide long-range missiles, which are capable of nuclear warheads, to Ukraine for them to be able to bomb inside, send them inside Russia, so they can target major cities. The name of this recording is Mind Controls. The U.S. government is irrelevant. Any and every politician is irrelevant. Mind is divine. It's not human. That is what controls. Mind is all-knowing, all-intelligence, and all-wisdom. It's all-capacity, capability, functionality, facility, all-action. Because of that, it's all-power. It's all-power because it's all-performance. The measurement of performance is how the rating of power is determined. Mankind knows nothing compared to God. We have a video on the website, mbeinstitute.org, and that video is about 2 or 3 minutes long, and it shows the size of Earth compared to the size of the sun. And of course, the sun is much larger than the earth. Then it shows the size of the sun compared to some other heavenly bodies up in the sky that we can see. And the sun looks very small compared to some of the other ones that are shown. And then it shows larger ones, which make the ones that reduce the relative size of the sun to a very small size. And then it showed one much larger than that. And then it showed the eighth largest one that is known to man. So Earth does not even show up, because it's so small. Sun is like a pencil dot because it's so small in relation to the one that is the eighth largest. We are only a small little speck on the Earth, because the Earth has 8.3 billion people. We're only one of those, each one of us. Since mind is defined as being the controller of all existence, that includes the eighth largest, whatever it is, a star or planet, out there in the atmosphere. Mind controls that. Mind controls the rotation of everything, the attraction of everything, to hold it in place. That's all mind. Just to let you know how foolish this is about the U.S. government saying that they have now approved the release of missiles to be sent over to, you know, bomb inside Russia with nuclear weapons. 4 years ago, when Trump moved out of the White House, he gave the nuclear codes to the military that reports to him. Yes. Biden is a whole fake administration. The commander in chief has been President Trump since January of 2017. So it's been 8 years. He gave the codes to the military so they would be in safekeeping. And he's the only one that has power to arrest and have executed people that are violating the Constitution. And of course, that's all done by the military. But Trump is the commander in chief. He makes the final decision. And the military that reports to Trump has the nuclear codes. So they can send all the missiles they want over there, but they can't turn on the nuclear codes because they don't have them. So everybody is getting all excited, thinking we're going to start a nuclear war with Russia when they don't have any control over the nuclear codes. The only possibility is that if Europe uses their nuclear weapons, and they have some, but of course the country that has the most in the whole planet Earth is Russia. So, without U.S. supporting all of Europe, it's very doubtful they're going to do anything. They're trying to get something started before Trump is inaugurated to force him to be facing a nuclear war that's already in existence. This is just an example of why we should go to God for everything, no matter what we think the size of the problem is. And what do I mean by going to God? Mary Baker Eddy defines God on page 465 of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, as being incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. On page 587, she defines God just a little bit differently. She states that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. Further down on the same page, she defines good as being God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. She defines omniscience as being omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. And omni is defined in the dictionary as being one, only, and all. So there's no competition and there's no opposition. So if God is representing a quality, nothing can dilute it, divert it, interfere with it in any way, stop it, or reverse it. Because God is the one, only, and all power. And it would require power to do anything. The first quotation at the very beginning of the textbook is by Jesus, and it's related in the book of John. And it says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If we want to find out the truth about what is really controlling everything, we don't have to look very far, because we just learned that God is omnipresent. That means the control of everything is within our own consciousness. And each one experiences that control based on what they have in their consciousness. Do they know that God is in control? Or do they think an evil force is in control that wants to have war in order to be a distraction, in order to keep President Trump from maybe even getting in office? They may try some trick that says they're in control, and therefore that the normal inauguration is not even going to take place. But what's the real truth? The truth is that Trump never gave up control, being commander-in-chief. So the actor, and it is really a hired actor playing the President of the United States, sadly, but the actor has no authority to do anything, and neither does anyone else except Trump. Trump is the commander-in-chief. He never gave up being commander-in-chief, and he enacted a special provision in the law where he could do that. All he did was activate a law that's been in the books of the Constitution, in the books of America, the records. All he did was activate something that's been around for a long time. So the people that are saying they want to start the war, they have no control of anything. The only thing they can do is lie. Living the life as a Christian Scientist is a process of research and development. Everything about it is research and development. Everything is already established, but we have to individually research in order to accept the truth. We have to convince our teeny little brain that it's all wrong, because it doesn't really have the foundation based on truth. It's a foundation based on matter. And matter is a mistake, which is the opposite of truth. Truth is spirit. The Bible, as well as Mary Baker Eddy, confirm that God is spirit. And spirit is the only real substance. So our substance, including our substance of our ability to think, which is really a reflection of the intelligence of God, and that's dependent upon a spiritual source, not matter. It's not dependent upon brain at all. Brain didn't change to spirit just because we understand that matter is unreal. Brain is unreal. John asked Jesus, is there a material body? The answer was no. John asked Jesus, is there a material universe? Jesus said, it doesn't matter what you or anyone else thinks, but most people think that there is a material universe. But the truth is, dear John, that there is no material universe. We must learn to trust the one mind that is in control, and we shouldn't have to look for a human reason to trust, because that's not really trusting. That's being convinced that, yes, he is in control. We have to trust. Do we care about the timing of any action that takes place? God is all action. That was part of the definition that I recited. Do we know the best time for something to take place? Do we know the best sequence? Do we know anything? When the Pharisees asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all? Before he answered that question, he had already explained that we must lift up the Son of Man in order to understand what he says and does. In other words, we can't steal his ability to heal, but we have to make it our own. And number one, we have to recognize that Christ Jesus is the Christ as a title, and Jesus is a man as something visible that walks around. And then our connection with Christ Jesus is that we can use his example of overcoming death when he raised other people from the dead and when he raised himself through the resurrection. And then when he ascended, he overcame the entire belief of there being a material world. He overcame the false belief of his life being in a body called Jesus when he resurrected. So it was a two-stage process. He went through a probationary period after that before he could claim that he overcame the entire sense of a material world. If we want to have the dominion that God gave us, as explained in Genesis chapter 1, where it says God gave man dominion over all the earth and over everything in it. Everything in it, including the fowls of the air and everything in the water. Everything. If we want to be able to experience that, we have to start by improving our understanding about what God is, about the true concept of Christ Jesus and his position. And by the way, when he said, "You must raise up the Son of Man," I believe what he was really trying to tell us, which he didn't say in words, but if Jesus was the Son of Man and we are to raise him up, then that means we need to recognize him as the Son of God, which is the final level. Because he carried out the function of humanity to the maximum by being able to love everyone regardless of who they were. Now, he didn't love evil, but he loved the individual as a human. Not as a sinning mortal. He just expressed love in everything he did. The soldier, one of them that was in the group that came to arrest him, Peter cut his ear off. Jesus healed the ear. That was expressing love to the soldier. He said, "Peter, put up thy sword." So we have this moment. That's all we have in time. What are we going to do with this moment? If we don't do something with it, it's going to be gone. Mary Baker Eddy states that the single biggest difference between success and failure is what we do with the moment at hand. This moment. Because once it's gone, then we have an opportunity to do something with the next moment. And the next one, and the next one. But a single moment is where the decision lies. Because there's only one that lies there at a time. Otherwise, they're lost. Earlier, it was mentioned about the size. And it's important for us to understand our size and ability as a human compared to the eighth largest thing that we know of out in space. If our capacity is in the same relative size to that, think about what it is compared to the size of the capacity of God. Our ability to do anything is nothing compared to God. The Bible tells us that God is all. And it says omni, so that means that God is one only and all, so there is nothing else. The Pharisees, when they asked Jesus about the greatest commandment, they said, "Good master, what is the greatest commandment of all?" And he said, "Why call me good? There is none good but God." He didn't think he even deserved the title of good, or any action that he did was good, because he recognized that everything is from God. Everything. Based on that line of reasoning, should we make any decisions on anything? Should we do any thinking about anything? When I was about, 3, 4, 5 years old, I went to my mother. I had two older sisters and they were in school. And I went to my mother with a problem, with what I thought was a problem. And I said, "Mom, would you help me with this problem?" And she said, "Well, why come to me?" She says, "Go ask God. Ask Him what the solution is to your problem." And I said, "Oh, Mom," I said, "this is too little for God." We should only get decisions on everything from God. What is meant by that? Well, the definition of God from two different places in Science and Health was recited, and really a third one, because the definition of good says that that is God, and then we had the four omnis of omnipotence and omnipresence, omniscience, and omniaction. That's a different order. But those are the four words. So what is meant by going to God? It means we go to the qualities of God. Are we using intelligence? It was mentioned that spirit is the only substance. Soul is the only sense. And since spirit is the only substance, the only senses there are that are real are spiritual senses. That means our seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Principle means structure and system. Life is living the qualities of God. Truth is the motive of what we're doing and the consciousness whereby we're conscious of what we're doing. And love is recognizing everything that was just said and nurturing it to fulfillment. Not stealing it by trying to use it for an evil purpose or without recognizing who Mary Baker Eddy is and putting in, recognizing her place in Christian Science as being not only the discoverer, founder, and leader, but that she was prophesied in the Pyramid of Gaza, which, of course, is recorded in the Bible. We have to recognize that. We have to give her proper place. Otherwise, we're trying to steal. We have to give God his proper place. We have to recognize it. If we recognize God as being the only source of intelligence and wisdom and knowing, the only capacity, capability, functionality, facility, the only action, and since the only substance is spirit, and spirit is defined as flawless, transparent, and therefore total reflection. So we have the capability of reflecting all of the qualities of God, or any combination, or any single one, if we transfer our thinking from a material basis to a spiritual basis. Because spirit is the only substance. And the only intelligence of God is a scientifically spiritual intelligence. Everything about God is spiritual. We can't really express the love of God unless we are tuned in to spirit. Certainly a sensual way of expressing love is not true love. That is a false sense of love. That's believing totally in a material universe and a material body, material functions, and everything else. The real reason Jesus was crucified is that the Jews were concerned that their civilization would expire. Because he said there should not be any marriage. He should never marry nor be given in marriage. That's his words. In other words, no human propagation. If we're going to have a civilization, we're obviously going to have a human propagation until we work out of the belief of the material universe and material body. But that should be our goal. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. That should be part of our infinite progression. Progressing out of the belief of a material sense of propagation. Every time we have a decision to make, if all of humanity did this, imagine how things would be different. Einstein stated that curiosity has its own reason for existing. He says, never stop questioning. By the way, he made a couple of other very interesting comments. He said, science without religion was lame, and religion without science was blind. And he also said, in referring to Mary Baker Eddy and the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, he said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. That was about the mid-1940s, I believe, that he said that. So that would have connected with the date that she discovered Christian Science, which was in 1866. And he also said, blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book. So he obviously was very interested in studying the textbook. And he attended reading rooms in the area where he was, which is an area that enables, well, it's exactly what it says. It's like a private library. It's a quiet place where you can study. So that's where he would study Science and Health, and probably Mary Baker Eddy's other writings. He didn't make any comment about that. He focused primarily on Science and Health. And he said, coming out of church one day, he says, you folks don't have any idea what you have here. He had a friend by the name of Underwood, who was on the Atomic Energy Commission, working on figuring out how to make an atom bomb to destroy civilization. And Einstein stayed away from it. But his friend, Dr. Underwood, who was a physicist, was working on it. And everybody on that commission was affected by radiation and lost their life, except his friend. And when Einstein asked his friend, Dr. Underwood, how did he survive it? He said, I'm a student of Mary Baker Eddy. A student of her works and writings. I'm a student of Christian Science. So that's when Einstein really accelerated his interest in the work. Before, I guess, the records show that he kind of dabbled in it, didn't know whether to believe it or not, because back in those days, and especially in the mid-1800s, when she discovered it, a woman couldn't vote and didn't have any right to own property in her own name. But by the time Einstein came along, women were able to vote. That happened around 1900. And they could own property. So if we're going to rely on the laws of God and the qualities of God in order to do everything in our life, it's very easy. The formula is easy. We have to live the golden rule. We have to think about others the way we want them to think about us. Hopefully we have a high opinion, a high standard. We should be thinking perfection, because we should be thinking the way God would be viewing his own manifestation. God couldn't create anything that is a lower standard than what he himself is. So therefore, perfection is the only thing God knows. God certainly doesn't know any flaw or defect or any dilution of perfection, any deflection of it. No, it's perfection or nothing. God knows nothing except himself. He doesn't know anything about mistakes. So everything that God created is perfect. So if we're going to be abiding by the golden rule, we have to be thinking perfection. We have to be thinking of others as being perfect. And we have to be thinking of ourselves as being perfect. In other words, we need to be acting in a perfect manner, with perfect consideration, perfect love for everyone. I'm not talking about evil acts. We don't love evil acts. Jesus didn't love evil acts. He overthrew the tables of the money changers. They were trying to make a profit from people that were going into church. Instead of being respectful of those who wanted to raise their thought and contemplate God. We have to do the same thing. We can't be thinking about God and seeing how can we make money off of this. How can I get a better house, a better car, a better wife, a better business, better friends, or anything? We have to be thinking about God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, I believe the most spiritual way to think about that is that all of God's qualities will be recognized by us to be the only reality. And then, of course, everything else unfolds in perfect sequence in exactly what is needed, which we probably cannot even imagine. Because we're that little speck, remember? And the eighth largest heavenly body makes the little speck, which is the sun, which is enormous compared to us, seem like a little speck. But God is infinite. To God, that eighth largest heavenly body doesn't even show up on His scale of infinity. So all we have to do is to strive to want to know more about God, what God is, and how does it work. And that's where the quote by Mary Baker Eddy on page 146 and 330 come in. On page 146, starting at line 31, Mary Baker Eddy says the following: divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. To a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus's healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. So there it is. That's why it is named Christian Science. The next paragraph explains it. And that's on page 330, beginning with line 9. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the Spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. Now, when she says divine metaphysics, she's talking Christian Science. Christian is the religion, and science is the science. That is the system, the science which includes a system of how do we understand all this? How do we put it together? How do we let it use us so that we can overcome any obstacle that we're faced with, no matter how small or how large it appears to be? If it is something less than 100% perfect, it needs to be improved or replaced with the perfect model. So there are 32 topics, and it covers about, I think it's 10 or 12 pages, starting at page 330. So we need to study those very thoroughly, realizing there's a system here. So what is the best way to really approach Christian Science? It is to begin with science and health, and start at the very first page, which is the title page, and read it all the way to the end of the book, 700 pages. When you read it, and when I say read, I mean thoroughly study. Another word for it is peruse. Thoroughly studied it from beginning to end, top to bottom, inside and out. And how do you do that? Number one, you read it and stop at the end of, at the first key point. And you record everything that I mention. So you turn on the recorder before you even start reading the title page. And you'll read that first quote that I recited at the beginning of this recording. The second quote, by the way, is from Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And the third quote is by Mary Baker Eddy. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. So those are right after the title pages. The first one I'll repeat again. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's by John. The words of Jesus recorded by John in the Gospel of John. And there's another thing that I recommend, and that is that John Morgan was very spiritually inspired and advanced in his spiritual development of understanding Christian Science. And he reviewed the main theme, or determined the main theme, of every chapter in Science and Health, as well as a main theme for the whole book. And we have those on our website. so that if you're reading it from the website, or you can download it from the website, then you can read that. But that should be read before you start reading any chapter. Very short, paragraph or two. And it will give you a heads up on what the chapter is about and what you should be looking for as key thoughts. We call it the theme. And make sure you always read the quotations at the beginning of each chapter. Just like the three at the beginning of the textbook, if you understand those quotes and the depth of their meaning, and by the way, prayer is living, because it says in the Bible to pray without ceasing. That means you need to live your prayer. Every thought, speech, and action should be oriented to living what you're trying to achieve and view it through the lens of spirit. So you start at the very beginning, having the recorder on all the time that you're in your study session, recording every single thing, and you read it in absolute sequence in the way it's written in the textbook. And you stop at the end of every key thought and you put it in your own words. So you read the original text, you stop at the end of the first key thought and do this all the way through, and you record it in your own words what it means to you. What is your interpretation of what you just read? You can stop as often as you like, at the end of a word, at the end of a sentence, at the end of a paragraph. And by the way, Science and Health has a paragraph title or a topic title for the topic that is the key, you know, the key point. And there may be one paragraph that is covered by that topic, or it could be several. It could be a small part of one page. It could be one or two or three sentences, or it could be a whole page, or it could be several pages. So it makes it easy to know what is the key point here from a spiritual view. And Mary Baker Eddy is the one that assigned those paragraph titles. So it's not some copyist or someone that was trying to understand what she said. These are her words. So you want to make sure you read that paragraph title. You want to make sure you read any introductory quotes to the chapter, and that you read the theme to the chapter, and you record every single thing and stop whenever you want to and put it in your own words. But don't go to the next topic until you've put everything you read in the topic that you're studying in your own words. Remember, keep that recorder on all the time you're in your study session. And then when you're doing something that you can listen to it, I like to do it when I'm doing something else. If I'm in the kitchen, if I'm in the restroom, you can do it if you're waiting in line in a checkout counter. If you're driving where there are no other cars around you and you don't have to focus 100% on your driving, you could be listening to it. You should keep your, of course, most people use a cell phone that keep it with them all the time, but and you can use that for, of course, both your recording and your playback. But you need to be able to download it off of your cell phone if you're going to use a cell phone. I don't happen to use a cell phone. I use only computers. So it's very easy for me. I'm not sure what your capability is of taking things off a cell phone, but I presume that you can put probably some kind of a memory device in there that you can remove and download it onto a computer. But you certainly want to have it on another device and not leave it on your cell phone. Everyone from time to time seems to misplace their cell phone or drop it or damage it. And so everything on their cell phone is lost. So you don't want to take that chance. This is very, very valuable. You'll have hundreds of hours of recordings. So anyway, you go from beginning to end of the textbook. And then when you're done, you start all over and do it again. And as long as you want to progress in your spiritual advancement of understanding more about what God is, what man is, and the relationship between man and God in the universe, God in everything, God in the nuclear war, anything at all, any topic at all, if you want to understand it more spiritually, then you continue reading the textbook from beginning to end. Now, obviously, you can go and pick out something and read it without reading the whole textbook to do it, to get to it. But you should be always reading something out of the textbook that is in sequence because you're reading it from beginning to end. And anything extra you want to do, you certainly can do it and not mess up your overall plan. And there's another book you should do the same thing with, and that is one by the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, which is Helen Wright, and she wrote the book that is entitled Your Divinity Revealed. And there are 13 chapters in there, and chapter 4 is on the term for God of mind, and chapter 5 on spirit, and chapter 6 on soul. And so from chapter 4 up through chapter 10, each chapter is devoted to one of those seven in the sequence that I read to you in the first definition, which is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And by the way, that's the same terms that are used to describe the first days of creation in Genesis chapter 1 up through verse 3 of chapter 2. So the Lord's Prayer is in direct connection and alignment with Genesis chapter 1. And so are the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes. They are all directly coordinated. And we show you what that connection is. We explain it. So, when you read the book by Helen Wright, Your Divinity Revealed, so that you can do a thorough study of each one of the terms for God, do the same thing there. When you get finished with the book, go back and start it. Chapter 4, and go through chapter 10. So you keep rotating those seven chapters. You don't need to do the whole book, but Science and Health is different. You need to do the whole book of Science and Health. And Mary Baker Eddy wrote 16 other books, and I would certainly recommend reading those because she herself says that you understand Science and Health better if you read her other writings, because she doesn't repeat anything. For example, she has an article in Miscellaneous Writings, which is a book that is about, I think it's around 400 or 500 pages. And in it, she has an article on starting on page 8 that says, love your enemies. She doesn't cover that topic anywhere else. So the topics that she covers in a book, she doesn't cover in another book. She exhausts what her ideas are on that topic. And she says she was a scribe unto orders, a scribe for God. Her messages are direct from God. She's the one that established the lost element of healing. And you'll have to read about the Council of Nicaea at 325 AD. But that's where the government met with the churches and they decided that they would name Jesus God. Jesus said, I'm not God. In fact, Jesus said, I'm not even good. He said, why call me good? There is none good but God. And yet people generally think that Jesus is God. And then they wear a necklace with him on a cross. And when they go into a church, there's usually a statue of Jesus on a big cross. I mean, you know, that's the wrong way to think about Jesus. Jesus overcame death. And he ascended even. And yet they use this very unintelligent symbol of him being killed, murdered, crucified. It makes no sense at all. Thinking people, I don't know how they can possibly justify what Christianity teaches about Jesus. It's totally false. He did so many wonderful things in only 3 years, and they remember the crucifixion as the key point. They totally forget about the healing. He never went to a witch doctor to get healed. His disciples didn't either. His followers didn't either. For 300 years, they had wonderful healings until the churches and the government got together and decided they were going to make him God. And that's where the beginning of the downfall of Christianity began. That's when it began. And by the time Mary Baker Eddy came along in 1866, there was no healings done. In fact, there hadn't been any healings done for 1,500 years. 325 cut it all off. Yes, we want to go to God for everything, which means we want to spiritualize our thought and look at everything through a lens of spirit. That's how we should live our life. If we see an accident, do we say, oh, that's too bad? No. We deny the accident is real because God is divine principle. And everything is in order and balance in divine principle. No one can be hurt in an accident because everyone is an idea of God. And God's ideas are impervious to injury or accident. Imagine what would happen as a result of an accident if everybody that saw that accident would have that kind of thinking and mentally go through the exercise of claiming that everyone in that accident, that appeared to be in that accident, was a child of God and they were under the control of the one and only divine mind, and that mind was their medicine and truth was their healer. They would be healed. They would be instantaneously healed. Mary Baker Eddy said, Jesus only gave us one prayer, and it's the Lord's Prayer. And she says, if you understand that spiritually, you will be able to demonstrate instantaneous healing of any problem whatsoever. Period. And she, of course, did. She raised the dead. She did the same thing Jesus did. Raised every illness, disease, every problem, every sin. And her followers, the students of Christian Science, have demonstrated those same things. We have on our website several people that healed the belief of death. Wentworth Winslow was one. McNeil Young raised himself from the dead. He had drowned. And of course, Mary Baker Eddy raised the dead. One of her workers passed on in her home. Every sin, sickness, disease, and as I mentioned, death, has been overcome by various practitioners and students of Christian Science. Everything in the book, you can't find anything in a medical dictionary that has not been cured through the study and application of Christian Science. And most things that attract people to the study of Christian Science is someone who could not get an answer anywhere else. They had exhausted all of the resources that they knew of to try to get a cure. This is available to all humanity. It's like mathematics. Anyone can learn to use mathematics. Anyone can learn to apply Christian Science to their way of life, to be living the life of a Christian Scientist. You can't snap your fingers. You can't just read a sentence in the book and all of a sudden you have a magic of a healing. You have to transform your entire consciousness. Remember, you have been under the belief of a material sense of birth and probably been told that you were born a sinner. And you've been barraged your whole life with a sense of limitation from here and there and everywhere on everything about life. So you have to erase this compounding of error that has surrounded your whole life from the beginning of when you came from your mother's womb. Jesus had an advantage because he didn't have a father that was involved, a human father. Even he had to practice it until he was age 30 before he had it mastered. But the beauty is, anyone can do it. Anyone. There's no limitation. It doesn't matter what kind of a claim that has been put on you. It doesn't matter what the title is. You can be an invalid or you can be someone with a small ailment. Everything in between, just like my mother said. I said, that's too small. For God, he's too busy. Well, there's nothing too small, because everything in our life should be looked at through a lens of spirit. Don't expect magic. McNeil Young, the one that was drowned, he had people come to him frequently that wanted healing in their business. Most of them he sent home. He wouldn't even talk to them. As soon as they would tell him in a couple of minutes what the problem was, he would realize that they didn't know anything about running their business. He says, you can't expect help from God when you don't even know what you're doing. We have to know what we're doing on a human level before we can ask help for God. The laws of God come into play for us in an individual experience after we've already mastered everything there was to know about what we're supposed to be doing. We can't sit down at a piano and say, okay, God, show me how to play Rachmaninoff Prelude in C-sharp minor. We have to learn how to play the piano. It's like Ashkenazi. They ask him, how could he play so perfectly? And he says, I practice until the piano plays me. Elon Musk. He knows astronomical engineering top to bottom, inside and out. That's why he was able to be involved in sending the largest rocket and bring it back to Earth, you know, into outer space, and bring it back to Earth and land it in its launching pad. It's never been done before. You think he and all the engineers that were involved in this didn't know what they were doing from beginning to end, frontwards and backwards? They could do it in their sleep. How about the electric cars, the Tesla car? Are you kidding me? I used to race cars and motorcycles. And this was a long time ago, when they first came out with cars that would go 200 miles an hour and motorcycles. Been a long time. And I raced them both at that speed. Zero to 60 in my fastest car was something like, I don't know, I think it was like 3.8 seconds or something like that. Well, Elon Musk produced a Tesla car that is like twice as fast. I don't know. I was really impressed when I saw it. I don't remember what the number is, but I think it was under 2 seconds. I believe it was under 2 seconds. 0 to 60 miles an hour. Under 2 seconds. And it's silent. The only noise you hear is the squeal of the tires. Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. You have to know your business. And then, you bring in God. You have to learn it from a human level first. And then if you want to expand, God knows all. All intelligence, all wisdom, all knowing. All capacity, all capability. It's not yours. You don't have to worry about you being limited. You don't have to worry about you remembering something. Of course, Elon Musk probably has a photographic memory. But that's beside the point. Christian Science is suitable for everyone. In fact, you yourself probably have forgotten something at a time or another and said to yourself, it'll come to me. And it did. I've had that happen many times to me. In fact, just yesterday, for some reason, something came to me about when I was in grade school. And I'd not thought about that teacher, that grade school teacher. I don't know, probably since I was in school. I haven't had any occasion to think about her. And I said, what was her name? And then I said, it'll come to me. I don't know, maybe 5 minutes later, it came to me. I could place her face and what she looked like, but somehow the name wasn't there with it. About 5 minutes later, the name came. Everything that we ever read is available. Everything that there is in the universe of thought. All humanity can benefit from this just like they benefit from mathematics or music or chemistry or anything else. We will be more alert if we study Christian Science because we are opening up to an infinite resource of intelligence. Infinite, no limit. Same with power. Everything. Action. Everything. We're opening up our experience to a brand new dimension that is beyond what it would be otherwise. And the healing. Think about overcoming sin, sickness, disease, and getting a whole new perspective on death. I'm very grateful for everything that I've learned, the inspiration that has come to me from all the authors in the Bible and Christian Science. Obviously in the Bible, Jesus is at the top in my estimation. Paul gave us a lot of great things, a lot of other authors. Habakkuk is the one that said, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. Most people have never even noticed that. God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. So there's not a single storm, earthquake, flood, fire, or anything that is an act of God. God does not have any acts that can be attributed to Him that are less than perfect, all around, one way, top to bottom, inside and out. If it's not something that is absolutely perfect and harmonious and in balance and blesses everyone concerned, it's not from God. It is from the belief of evil. Jesus was asked one time when someone had a problem from his birth. I think it was blindness. And his disciples said, who did sin, this man or his mother and father? And Jesus said, neither. He said, this has come to our attention so that we can glorify God. And of course, he healed the man. Now, in many cases, Jesus asked the individual if he thought that he could be healed. So if you're going to go into studying Christian Science and you have absolutely no confidence or faith and you're not interested in opening up your thought to any new idea or dimension, then don't waste your time. Because that's going to be your result. It's like, why study mathematics if you think that it's a bunch of baloney? Or why study music if you hate music? There's no use doing it. You have to have your thought ready for something new. You have to be ready to look at a new dimension. Look how many objections that Elon Musk got on his work. Boy, he got objections on his electric cars. And then when they were self-driving, are you kidding me? He was attacked by everybody. In fact, he's still attacked by the government. They've done everything possible to try to shut him down. Einstein didn't have very many friends. People are either envious or jealous. They have no love for people that come out with brand new ideas, great advancements in anything. They suppress all the patents. There are people that have come up with patents on how to heal a lot of the diseases through medical means. They're suppressed. They can't get them out of the patent office. Unfortunately, our patents are controlled by the UK. I don't know, that might be changing now since Trump went over there and had a talk with the Queen in his first term. But yeah, it's a situation where you pretty much have to leave all your friends behind because there's so much jealousy and resentment when someone advances above everyone else. That's just the way humanity is. The ego, the self-ego, tries to protect itself. It will accept being tricked, but it doesn't want to make a change once it's made a mistake. Very interesting characteristics about a so-called mortal mind or a brain. So we need to be grateful for everyone that made any kind of a contribution to anything in our advancement. Whether it's employees, whether it's a mentor, whoever it is, whatever influence we've gained from, we must be grateful for. If we're not grateful, then we have the wrong kind of a heart. If we don't have a giving heart, then we are limiting our future. We're limiting our present. We're limiting our happiness and joy. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Be merciful, pure, and just. The truth that has been revealed in this recording, and everything is extemporaneous, so whatever came to thought, I said. And I'm grateful for every truth that came to my thought and was expressed in this recording. And God, of course, is the source of all goodness. I read the definition of good out of the glossary. Page 587 from the textbook, and good is defined as being God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. I'm grateful for every truth that came to the surface during this recording. Nothing can dilute it because truth is always true. Nothing can divert it, deflect it, stop it, or reverse it. Evil has no power. The good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable, and nothing can take that away. Because it's reflecting the power of God. I will close by reading the Lord's Prayer with the spiritual interpretation as given to us by Mary Baker Eddy. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother God, all harmonious. Hallowed be thy name, adorable one. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And love is reflected in love. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Amen.